Put down that smartphone and listen to me. I'm Matthew Milligan, professional musician and lifelong Weird Al fan. Each week, I'm joined by professional podcaster and close personal friend, Matt Kelly, to take a dive off the deep end into the vast career of pop culture icon Weird Al Yankovic on our show, Weird Algorithm. Along with some very special guests from the worlds of music and comedy, we tackle every song, every television appearance, and every bit of sketch comedy Al has produced in chronological order, covering the good old days of My Bologna and Eat It, the fun zone of Tacky and White and Nerdy, and everything in between. As we go, we're ranking the songs, albums, and music videos in the hopes of creating the ultimate guide to a career bigger than the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. So the next time you're having one of those days stuck in a traffic jam wondering why does this always happen to me, just kick off your sneakers and stick around for a while because we've got it all on Weird Algorithm, available wherever you get your podcasts. And now you know. Was that enough references?
What's up, everybody? This is Brian here to tell you about our podcast, Bingetown TV. Our hosts include seven best friends with a love for all things television. We cover a range of genres with a focus on fantasy and sci-fi, but also dip our feet into drama, horror, comedy, and pretty much anything we think is good television. We use the traditional deep dive formula for new live shows that are released week to week, but our calling card is our Rooks and Vets and Pitchtown TV series. Rooks and Vets pairs two of our hosts that have seen a show with two of our hosts that have not seen a show. Pitchtown TV is when we have a special guest pitch us a show by having us watch the pilot and trying to convince us to watch the rest. If you're craving more content on some of your favorite TV shows, then you should listen to Bingetown TV.
Find us on our website at bingetowntv.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or wherever else you may find your podcast.
Welcome, Horror Movie Night, to an in-depth discussion about the award-winning Tyrannosaurus Rex, shot in the year of our Lord, 1993. This one was picked by Scott Rogers. So, Scott, do you have a second to tell us a little bit about this lovely film?
Do you want me to explain why I picked it?
Yeah, let's get into that. Why not?
It's Tammy and the T-Rex, bro! Like, I've been waiting for a year to watch this shit.
I have a genuine question for both of you, though. When you hit play on this movie, what was the title screen for you?
Oh, I don't remember.
Mine was Tanny and the Teenage T-Rex.
Yep. Yeah.
That could have been it, too. Yeah, man, this movie threw me through a loop. I was just more I was more confused the whole time because Matt and Scott kind of already know this, but I thought this movie came out 2019. I thought this was a movie that was shot to look like a cheesy 90s movie. So I'm like, man, that dude looks like Paul Walker. Everyone looks so young. And I'm like, man, this doesn't make any sense. And I couldn't get past the McPoyle and how young he looks. So I finally go to Google and I find out that it's a 1994 movie. And then Matt lets me know, like, yeah, it was released as a family movie. They cut out all the gore scenes. And then I was confused the whole time because I don't know what they kept in this movie that could tell a cohesive story.
Nope. I don't either.
Yeah. Like there's not a lot of stuff that can, unless they reshot it. Like, I don't know. Has anyone seen the original?
I have friends who've seen the original who've always told me about the movie, but when the gore release was announced last year, that's when everyone was like, holy shit, we're finally going to see what this movie was supposed to be.
I just want to know what it was. Now I know what it was supposed to be, but I need to know what it was. I kind of have to watch the movie now.
So here's the
It's so funny. Like, he's the inverse of everybody He's like, I want the clean version. And I'm like, I'm not watching it until I can see a fuck ton of decapitations.
Well, now that I have, I want to see the clean version because it does. I'm so confused on what they could keep in this.
Yeah, well, I get it. I just think it's funny.
So here's real quick before we dive into this. Let's talk about the production of this movie. And I'm just going to read the excerpt from Wiki. But the director was approached by a man who owned theaters in South America who had an animatronic T-Rex which was going to a park in Texas. The eyes worked, the arms moved, the head moved, and he had it for 2 weeks before it had to be shipped. So he came to me and said, we can make a movie with it real quick. And I said, what's the story? And he said, I don't know what the story will be, but we have to start shooting it this week, so you better write the story. all the locations were shot within 25 minutes of the director's house, and he stated that there was a large fire which took place during the shoot. And as a result, smoke can still be seen in the background of most shots.
As I'm sure everyone knows, I loved this movie. I watched it twice in 2 weeks because I got it, and I was like, well, guys, I'm... So I bought it off of Vinegar Syndrome because they were releasing it on Blu-ray, and... I bought it on Black Friday and blah, blah, blah. And I watched it. I loved it. And I knew that we were going to do it. And so I just was like, okay, well, I'll watch it again next week and take notes. And, oh, man, it's just such a good fucking time.
It's like, we've talked about this before, but like crowd pleaser movies for sure is like my biggest regret was that I wasn't at Fantastic Fest when I could watch this with an audience. Because I have a feeling this movie fucking slays with like just a rowdy crowd of movie fans.
Hell yeah, dude. Like there's nothing bad about this movie. Every bad thing that happens or every bad part of this movie is so charmingly stupid that it's like this is a warm blanket of a movie with decapitations.
So one of the things that I will say before we dive into this, just because they definitely helped me craft a few of my notes, is I watched this movie with the Jersey Ghouls.
Nice.
Neither of them had seen it, and I was going over to record an episode and was like, hey, I have to watch Tammy and the T-Rex for the podcast. Do y'all want to watch it with me? So I will say that the first thing, the movie starts off weird right out the gate, but it really, I feel like you get what this movie is as soon as the fight scene happens. That fight scene, like there's so much to die, like break down with that scene. Not just, I mean, there's the testicle grab, which is like the where it
peaks. Testicular standoff.
They're doing like full blown wrestling moves, like body slams and shit. And while that's happening, the entire crowd is acting like a rowdy boxing arena. Like everyone's just like, yeah, yes, like just like so excited. And then like Tammy and her one friend, who side note, this is the most insane thing to me, is if you go on the wiki page for Tammy and the T-Rex, and you look at the cast breakdown, it's like Denise Richards as Tammy, and like Paul Walker as Michael, or whatever, but then it gets to her friend, and it's like the actor's name as Tammy's gay black friend named Brian Black. That is the full credit he's given.
Wow.
And that's essentially what his character is, because it's always reminding you of that.
You gotta keep in mind that that was pretty fucking progressive for 1994.
Oh, well, sort of, because here's the thing.
And they left out Voodoo? He's the Voodoo guy.
So the director of this movie made three movies before this that are all infamously terrible. He made Ice Pirates, he made Mac and Me, and then...
Oh, this is the Mac and Me guy?
The Mac and Me guy, and then he made Mannequin 2 on the Move.
Oh, I love Mannequin 2.
But... the gay friend in this is the exact same character as.
But you got to think. As I thought. Yeah. this is the coolest thing about this movie is this director made three. I guess Mac and Me got traction, but three not very big movies by any means. Got two nobodies that were in TV shows, right? Like one episode of TV shows up until this point. And they both the main characters are superstars.
The other thing is there's the testicle standoff, which ends with like the joke that Paul Walker's been wearing a cup the whole time, which again leads to multiple questions. Like, how did the guy not realize he was grasping the cup?
Maybe he thought he was excited, Matt.
I'm really enjoying this fight.
But Brian, the other big thing in this movie, so yes, he got two people who were nobodies at the time, but then he got a big old somebody to play the mad scientist, because he got fucking Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's to run around playing this crazy mad scientist the whole
That's
time.
Bernie?
Someone that plays a dead guy wouldn't be a big old somebody.
I don't think you understand how massive Weekend at Bernie's was at this time.
Oh, Weekend at Bernie's was huge.
If there's one person who knows what this movie is that they are in, it's him. Because he is all over the place, and it's delightful. Like, him and his assistant, Helga, steal the movie.
Helga's outfits steal the movie. I don't...
Well, she's dressed like the chick from the B-52s the whole movie.
Yep.
Like, no
it's
matter
amazing.
What scene. Jackie also pointed out that it's like a weird blend of, like, B-52s and... Al Bundy's wife on Married with Children. Ooh. Like, those are the clothing choices the whole movie.
Nice call, Jackie.
But, or Marissa. One of them. I can't remember. It was late at night.
Oh,
but,
how dare you.
Sorry. It was, we were all yelling things at the screen. Anyway, so we get to Paul Walker, right? Paul Walker's laying in bed. He's listening to music that sounds like Melissa Etheridge, but they obviously can't afford Melissa Etheridge.
Nope.
So it's like Melissa Eskeridge. And,
but the funniest thing about Melissa Eskeridge is that so for someone who can't get a name right to save his fucking life, you know Melissa Etheridge.
Do you know how many times I practiced that delivery in that line? Ridiculous.
You have too much free time.
But yeah, so Tammy calls him, and this is where we start to see the biggest problem with Tammy, which is that there's no rhyme or reason to any of her emotions at any second.
No, not at all.
So she's calling him, and the delivery that Denise Richards is giving is like damaged, about to kill themselves, so much trauma in their life, like phone call. And Paul Walker is acting like Jason Biggs while watching Nadia strip on his computer. Like, he's just like, yes, yeah, no, I'll be over right away. She's like, okay, but just don't let my parents know. He's like, I can't, they won't know, I'll climb the house.
And then he's like, I've got my one condom.
I will attribute this joke and this story. But when that happened, Jackie goes, you know, as a little girl, because of movies like this, I always believed that guys just had one lone condom. To which I said, no, if they're anything like me, they've got an economy pack of condoms that they have to throw out soon because the expiration date is rolling up.
And if they're anything like me, they don't have any. Never did. Never will.
So you've got Tammy, who sounds super damaged and depressed. But then the second Paul Walker gets into the room, she's like giggly drunk. Like, she's just like rolling around, knocking over tables. Her dad calls the house phone from the house, which is weird.
Yeah, that's like some white suburbia thing, I guess. I don't know.
But like then like the two punk girls are part of like her ex-boyfriend's gang are like, yo, we should call her parents. And the other one's like, no. He should call Billy. And they're like, which, like, these same characters literally, like, 5 minutes later in the movie when they think that Billy's about to kill Paul Walker, just like, no one can ever know what we've done. The boyfriend shows up, and at this point, Paul Walker becomes Paul Runner because he's trying to get away from the gang.
I hate this episode already.
Matt has never been punnier. This is incredible. I am fully erect.
He's tearing through this town, but for whatever reason, this town has a wildlife refuge that's filled with like lions and panthers.
They have a panther and a tiger.
Just roaming around in a caged up area, but they, thank God they got bolt cutters in the back seat of their cars they can break in there. And then like Paul Walker gets attacked by a lion and we go to the hospital
and he's not dead.
Not a scar on him. Yeah. It was tearing at his face, and his face looks pristine.
Well, he bit his arm.
That's true. He did get his arm. And that's what killed him. This is where probably my favorite delivery from Bernie comes in, where he's trying to revive him, and he's just going, live! Live! Well, that's it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So funny. Oh, man. This movie is just comedy fucking gold.
It's so wacky. And did you catch who the pizza delivery boy is in this movie?
Mm-mm.
I got to tribute Marissa's husband for this one because he said, I'm like, there's no way. It's fucking Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, yeah, I did actually catch that. I did catch that. I just forgot.
So let's talk about, I didn't write any notes down about this, but I know that there's things that we have to say about the brain removal sequence.
Oh man, it's so fucking funny. They give him a boner.
And then it's like waving. He's
like, that this movie, if you watch this movie and you are not entertained by just the sheer stupidity of it, it's like you might be brain dead.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane.
Jackie or Marissa also figured out that the assistant, you know who the assistant is, right?
No.
Children of the Corn, the main kid from Children of the Corn, all grown up.
Oh my God.
And he's a terrible actor.
Oh man. Yeah, he is. But then is it like, when does Helga get felt up by a T-Rex arm?
Yeah, they put the brain in and he's testing the hand and the hand just keeps going up her skirt.
Yeah, like that's sexual assault, but yeah, okay. The best part about it is that I thought that they had a dinosaur, that this mad scientist made a dinosaur. It's even better that he made an animatronic dinosaur.
Yeah, that he just wants to have a human brain in for reasons.
Yeah, they literally made the movie around the fact that they had that animatronic T-Rex, and they were like, they're not going to hand wave away the fact that it's a robot. They're just like, here, take it. They have Pedro bring the two large pizzas, and they literally, that was the food on set that day. It didn't have any catering.
I love that they start using the top of Paul Walker's head as like an ashtray for their fucking pizza crust. Like just tossing it in there like it's a little tiny trash receptacle.
Yeah, yeah, it's incredible. And then we get our first decapitation, right?
Oh my God, and it's so good.
And then we get a head squish.
We get a head squish, and then we get the worst green screen T-Rex walk I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's so bad, but I don't even care. I laughed so hard.
But it leads to the scene that I show everyone. When I try to sell them this movie, I send them the telephone sequence.
And I showed it. Okay, so I was watching this. We don't have a DVD player hooked up in the house anymore. So I got a Blu-ray DVD set because I don't have a Blu-ray player, but I have an old DVD player, and so I got it out of the basement and I hooked it up to my computer, and so I'm watching it, and the first thing that we have not that I we totally just trampled over is the fucking T-Rex man song. I'm a dinosaur man, a prehistoric dude, king of the jungle, coming after you. Those are the actual lines. And Megan was like, she knew what I was watching. And she's like, what the fuck is that song? And I was like, baby, it's Tammy and the T-Rex. Get ready. Because she's like walking around the house doing something. And I, you know, I'm listening to it at full blast. Because I'm a terrible husband. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I was like, Megan. She was about to like leave. And I'm like, come here. And so I
show her. You turn into Beetlejuice. Like,
yeah.
Don't care about your set.
Yeah, no, I literally became Beetlejuice for a second, and I told her to come over, and I showed her the T-Rex on the phone, and she rolled her eyes so hard I thought she went blind.
I think it's the perfect comedy beat of checking for change. It's like what really sells it for you. We get to this party and like
You mean the fat guy with the like Nazi helmet?
Who is he? And where did he come from? And then he's just gone.
Yeah, and he's like not upset that the girl that he was trying to like mack with doesn't want to dance with him anymore. He's like, all right, see you later.
You know what? I wish I had that level of like confidence.
You have to be drunk as hell to do that, man.
Fair enough.
You know, I was so glad I was watching the gore version because like, you know, when you're watching a movie or TV show and they just kind of, you guys have had poison ivy, right?
Yeah.
You know, you got a gigantic poison ivy boil that's just full of like pus and poison ivy oil. And you know you shouldn't itch it, because if you itch it, it'll get everywhere. It'll be disgusting. If somebody sees you, they're going to be like, oh God. And you'll be like a leper, right?
Yeah.
And so you itch around it like a half an inch away from the actual poison ivy scratch. And it kind of alleviates that itch, that need. That's what so many movies do. Tammy and the T-Rex takes their fingernails and just digs right into that poison ivy boil. It gives you what you want.
And they kill, like, you'd think that Billy would be, like, one of the last people.
No, they kill him, like, 30 minutes in. It's amazing.
Yeah. And it's probably my favorite kill because we get just another decapitation similar to earlier, but we have that head explosion when it hits the ground instead of it just, like, gently landing on the ground.
Yeah, but before that part, we get two guys who try and hide from the T-Rex under a car, and the T-Rex puts its foot on the car and squishes them. Amazing.
But then Michael kidnaps Tammy, I guess we could say, and he tells her who he is through a rollicking game of charades.
Mm-hmm. She finds out that it's him because he eats a yellow rose again. Oh, so wacky. There's some weird implication. Well, let's just wait till the end and we'll get to the implications.
So then they go to Michael's funeral. And there's a couple things happening here. Thing number one is that you've got three grave diggers that are just standing perfectly still in the background, immoved. Number two, there's a T-Rex behind everybody and no one seems to notice it. Yeah. Number three, the other tombstones in this graveyard are just two tombstones made out of cardboard that have the worst handwriting I've ever seen on.
And four, Tammy is wearing a crushed velvet mini dress with a, like, crucifix chainmetal belt. And when, and my mind, when I saw it, I just did the Italian yum hand, like, mwah.
Yeah. Well, and then they go to try to be like, okay, all we got to do is get Michael's old body and we can put his brain back in it. And apparently, there's just no mortician in this town because they open up that casket and he's like months rotted at this point, filled with maggots and rats.
But then they have another amazing scene, though, where they go through
the hospital.
Oh,
man. Oh, yeah, the picking for a body.
And Tammy doesn't want the big dick corpse?
Not for me. Well, it's for me. And I like that Michael, for a couple seconds, did consider the female body. Like, they showed him the female body. And he's like, maybe. I could work with that. Tammy's like, I don't want to be with a girl. I want to be with a guy. And he's like, hey, same, sister. It's like a really good line. So then they end up not picking a body at all. It gets to this. They're hiding in a barn. There's a big standoff. People die. Mostly the mad scientists. And does Helga die? Does Helga get to live? I can't remember.
I don't know, but you're forgetting that the dino flips the bird at people.
He does flip the bird at people. He's like, hey, suck on this. But then they kill the dinosaur, quote unquote, and then we get this little stinger. I think follow Tammy, and she's full of joy. And you're like, but your boyfriend just died. Your T-Rex boyfriend just died. And she goes up into her room, and there's a camera hooked to the wall. And she starts talking to the camera, and the camera's talking back. And then it pans down, and the brain is hooked up to the camera and a computer. And Tammy very excitedly is like, hey, those hikers that were frozen in the mountains finally were found. I'm going to go check on those bodies, and hopefully we'll have something for you. But in the meantime, you mind if I just strip for you for the next, I don't know, 7 minutes so we can get this to a full 90?
Man, I used to hate Denise Richards.
But Tammy and T-Rex really turned you around.
Because she knew exactly what it was. You know, like,
oh yeah.
In Starship Troopers, I just thought that she's being an idiot. And in Wild Things, I was like, oh, she's just being a sex symbol. She marries Charlie Sheen, and I'm like, you're just a stupid idiot. But she's, like, completely aware of what she's doing in this movie, and she seems genuinely happy doing it. Like, she looked like she had a blast making this movie. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, my joy.
I think everyone had a good time. I think it was just fun for everyone.
But, like, you know, this really humanized Denise Richards for me because I don't know. Like, I just thought that it was very endearing that she made such a silly movie and seems to be honestly enjoying herself, even in her, like, wedding dress lingerie is very odd. But the brain can consume alcohol.
So
she's still in high school, right? So where does she get this, like, scotch or whatever that she pours on the brain? And then we see a brain in a bowl come.
Yeah, we do.
Credits.
The amount of alcohol that was poured directly onto a brain could probably kill a brain.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing, but, you know, we just watched somebody get their brain inserted into an animatronic Tyrannosaurus Rex robot, so...
It's not like it holds.
Man, I fucking love this movie. Actually, I didn't touch a whole lot of my actual notes because we went through a lot of it, but there are two legitimate notes that I have, just looking at them, in all caps, where I say, I fucking love this movie.
It's a blast, man.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that you're expecting the revenge to take the entire movie, and he kills the entire gang before the 40-minute mark. It's amazing.
Yeah. He's been a dinosaur for about 10 minutes, and he gets his vengeance. Like, yeah. It is insane.
Put down that smartphone and listen to me. I'm Matthew Milligan, professional musician and lifelong Weird Al fan. Each week, I'm joined by professional podcaster and close personal friend, Matt Kelly, to take a dive off the deep end into the vast career of pop culture icon Weird Al Yankovic on our show, Weird Algorithm. Along with some very special guests from the worlds of music and comedy, we tackle every song, every television appearance, and every bit of sketch comedy Al has produced in chronological order, covering the good old days of My Bologna and Eat It, the fun zone of Tacky and White and Nerdy, and everything in between. As we go, we're ranking the songs, albums, and music videos in the hopes of creating the ultimate guide to a career bigger than the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. So the next time you're having one of those days stuck in a traffic jam wondering why does this always happen to me, just kick off your sneakers and stick around for a while because we've got it all on Weird Algorithm, available wherever you get your podcasts. And now you know. Was that enough references?
What's up, everybody? This is Brian here to tell you about our podcast, Bingetown TV. Our hosts include seven best friends with a love for all things television. We cover a range of genres with a focus on fantasy and sci-fi, but also dip our feet into drama, horror, comedy, and pretty much anything we think is good television. We use the traditional deep dive formula for new live shows that are released week to week, but our calling card is our Rooks and Vets and Pitchtown TV series. Rooks and Vets pairs two of our hosts that have seen a show with two of our hosts that have not seen a show. Pitchtown TV is when we have a special guest pitch us a show by having us watch the pilot and trying to convince us to watch the rest. If you're craving more content on some of your favorite TV shows, then you should listen to Bingetown TV.
Find us on our website at bingetowntv.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or wherever else you may find your podcast.
So, double features. What are you guys feeling? Scott, this is your pick, so you obviously kick us off.
All right, well, can I have two?
Save the second one for after we all give them, because I also had like two or three that were floating around.
Well, gun to my head, I'm going to pick the only other Blu-ray that I have. Dude Bro Party Massacre 3.
Okay.
Because they're my two favorite movie, probably two favorite horror comedies I've seen in the last 5 years or something like that. And also they're both so incredibly bombastic and they knew what they were doing. You know, they were making a goofy ass movie. And there's a lot of head trauma.
I would probably pair this up with Carnosaur.
Now, Carnosaur or Carnosaur 2? Because I've only seen the second one.
Carnosaur.
Mine is a little weird, but like, hear me out on this.
Wait, are we talking about your dick?
Yeah.
Flaccid.
For some reason, I kept thinking about Pee-wee's Big Adventure while I was watching this, and it was for two reasons. One was because there's the scene where, like, I'm pretty sure there's a dinosaur in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, right? That, like, crushes up the bicycle before, like, the clowns come and take it away. But then also, when he was in the wildlife reserve, I was thinking about the part where Pee-wee's walking around alone in the dark, and then he turns on his night vision goggles, and he's just surrounded by lions and panthers.
and also, don't forget the line when the cops are there, and Denise Richards is like, he made this, and he was like, I don't make dinosaurs, I just train them.
So, Scott, what was the other ones that you were thinking of? Because I wonder if we have the same one as a backup.
Frankenhooker.
Yep, that was mine as well. Brains in jars of fluid, absolutely. Weird, wacky, mad scientist, sign me the fuck up. Frankenhooker all day, every day. Scott and Brian, what do you guys have that you want to promote? Give a thumbs up, say, yo, check this shit out.
I want to go last, because for once I have a few things.
I'll make mine real quick. Like I said, I watched this with my good friends, the Jersey Ghouls, and I believe by the time this episode's out, the episode that I recorded with them about House on Haunted Hill and The Tingler as a Vincent Price, ooh, William Castle double feature, will be out. And, you know, we didn't really talk about the movies as much as we really broke down the concept of, like, why William Castle deserves your utmost respect. But, yeah, give that a listen. I've always had fun doing Jersey Ghouls, but I think this was the most fun I've had doing Jersey Ghouls. So definitely go and check that out.
It's awesome. So I will go next, and I want to talk about some literature.
Ooh, you get your learn-all.
I had a really bad experience with a horror novel right after Christmas. I read The Twisted Ones, and I didn't bring it up when I finished it because it started out so strong, and then it took a really annoying turn. And I was really disappointed that I bought the book. You know, I mean, yeah, a book's $15. It's not the end of the world. But at the end of the day, like, I would like it if I buy a book for it to really fucking wow me. And it's either I like to buy a book, read it, and if it's so good that I want to read it again, I keep it. If it's good enough that I want to tell somebody about it, I usually give it to someone to read. It's kind of like I'm like, I loved this. I want to share it with you kind of thing. So, like, I buy it and then give it away. And Twisted Ones was not, I didn't love it. So Megan, as I'm sure I've mentioned multiple times, Megan's favorite book series is Philip Pullman's His Dark Material, which is, you know, The Golden Compass, which was a movie in the early 2000s too. And then they're doing the His Dark Material TV show now. That original trilogy was, she read that when she was young. And now he's doing a prequel trilogy. And the first book is called The Book of Dust, La Belle Sauvage. And I'm in the process of reading it right now. And I'm not one for prequels because I know what happens later. You know, and so it always feels like the tension and the enjoyment of the book is kind of ruined by knowing the future, basically. But this is actually a really entertaining read. I'm about halfway done with it. It's like, you know, 500 pages. It's not like, and I'm only reading it right before bed, but it's really fun. And I'm really enjoying it. I forgot how much enjoyment I get from reading his characters. So love it. Highly recommend it. And I'm only halfway done. But then I want to talk about a movie based on one of my favorite books of the last couple of years, Annihilation. One of the big things with Annihilation, the book, is that it's almost impossible to visualize on screen the concepts of that book. And I think that they did a great job of taking the core concept of the Shimmer and what happens in Annihilation and the kind of Lovecraftian nihilistic feeling of the book, kind of retool it to a more visibly presentable concept. And so for me watching it, it still had a lot of the same beats and it had the same kind of dread that reading the book had. And the book was so good. Like I loved Annihilation. Anybody that hasn't read Annihilation, read it. It's so good. Skip the other two books in the Southern Reach trilogy because they're really reaching. And I don't mean that as a pun. I don't think that you can come back from the end of Annihilation and do two more books. Also, Annihilation is a tight 120 pages. It's not long. So it doesn't need to be three books. In any case, the movie, the actual characters, like Natalie Portman's character in particular, is far more interesting to me than her character was in the book. So I could watch Natalie Portman and I could watch her drink a glass of water and be enthralled. She's just an amazing actor. And also her character in the movie kind of gave me a Megan vibe. And so I was watching it being like, I had my hands in my chin in my hands. I'm like, I love my wife. You know, the movie was so good. And I really liked the way that they presented the concepts and it was very well paced. So I put it off because I was expecting to not like it and it's on Hulu and I was like, okay, I'm going to finally watch it. And I was very pleasantly surprised and I felt like energized in modern cinema after watching it. Cause I was like, okay, this is a good movie.
Brian, you had a bunch to rattle off.
Just a quick few. Outsider on HBO. Really digging it. Really digging it. Everyone should check it out.
Can you tell me the concept of that? Because I'm getting bombarded by ads, but I don't know anything about it.
without giving any spoilers, right? Jason Bateman gets picked up for murder, for the murder of a small child. There is insane DNA evidence showing that he killed this child. And his alibi was that he was in another town, for a conference. And there's video and also other insane DNA evidence showing that he was in this place. And that's pretty much the premise of the show. It's like, how is this guy in two places at once? I think it's super, super cool.
Is it supernatural?
It could be. It could not be. We'll have to watch and see.
God damn it. If it's not supernatural, I'm not going to watch it.
It's super.
I mean, it's based on a Stephen King book.
Like, oh, did you say Stephen King? I missed that. Okay. Yeah. Then I'll watch that shit.
Yeah. And then other two real quick. Avenue 5 on HBO also is where I watched the first episode last night, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Josh Gad, man, is really fucking funny. And on Amazon Prime right now, anyone that has seen Uncut Gems and liked it, the Safdie brothers who wrote and directed it, their first movie is on Amazon Prime. It's called Good Time. It's starring Robert Pattinson. Same thing as Uncut Gems, a full-on anxiety attack. The Uncut Gems is a better movie, and a little bit more realistic, but I was nauseous and dizzy the whole time watching the movie.
So that was the masterpiece known as Tammy and the T-Rex from 1993. And if you're just, you want some more of that sweet, sweet dinosaur talk, you are in luck. Go over to patreon.com/HMM podcast because we're going to be talking dinosaurs. Did you know that I took a dinosaur class in college? You're about to find out why I don't talk about it very much. So tune in for that. Go to our notes in the episode for all of our social media links, but we're HMN podcast on literally every podcasting app and social media app. And our website is that it's pretty much HMN podcast will get you where you need to go. We'll be back next week with a movie that I picked that is also about, it has nothing to do with Tammy and the T-Rex. I don't know what to tell you, but it's got giant animals, and you know that I am a sucker for giant animal movies. So, check it out. We'll be back.
Bye.
Put down that smartphone and listen to me. I'm Matthew Milligan, professional musician and lifelong Weird Al fan. Each week, I'm joined by professional podcaster and close personal friend, Matt Kelly, to take a dive off the deep end into the vast career of pop culture icon Weird Al Yankovic on our show, Weird Algorithm. Along with some very special guests from the worlds of music and comedy, we tackle every song, every television appearance, and every bit of sketch comedy Al has produced in chronological order, covering the good old days of My Bologna and Eat It, the fun zone of Tacky and White and Nerdy, and everything in between. As we go, we're ranking the songs, albums, and music videos in the hopes of creating the ultimate guide to a career bigger than the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. So the next time you're having one of those days stuck in a traffic jam wondering why does this always happen to me, just kick off your sneakers and stick around for a while because we've got it all on Weird Algorithm, available wherever you get your podcasts. And now you know. Was that enough references?
What's up, everybody? This is Brian here to tell you about our podcast, Bingetown TV. Our hosts include seven best friends with a love for all things television. We cover a range of genres with a focus on fantasy and sci-fi, but also dip our feet into drama, horror, comedy, and pretty much anything we think is good television. We use the traditional deep dive formula for new live shows that are released week to week, but our calling card is our Rooks and Vets and Pitchtown TV series. Rooks and Vets pairs two of our hosts that have seen a show with two of our hosts that have not seen a show. Pitchtown TV is when we have a special guest pitch us a show by having us watch the pilot and trying to convince us to watch the rest. If you're craving more content on some of your favorite TV shows, then you should listen to Bingetown TV.
Find us on our website at bingetowntv.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or wherever else you may find your podcast.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network,